Before we dive into this podcast, we want to introduce you to our sponsor, TaylorMade. Established in 2008, TaylorMade is a family-owned and run business built on traditional values of trust, honesty, and integrity. When you visit TaylorMade's showroom, you'll experience firsthand their commitment to these values through their honest pricing with no hidden fees and service with a genuine smile. Each tile specialist is knowledgeable in all areas, from features and benefits to measuring and layout, ensuring that you receive the best advice and service possible. TaylorMade's vision is to become one of the largest and most successful tile manufacturers of high-end quality products, with a stylish and exclusive range of products distributed worldwide to both wholesale and retail markets. Their mission is to manufacture high-quality tiles and surpass expectations by offering competitive prices through an ongoing commitment to customer satisfaction and dedication to continuous improvement. We're proud to have TaylorMade as our sponsor and invite you to visit their showroom in Coorparoo in Brisbane or check out their products online at taylormade.com.au.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. Well, if you thought the season was heading to a triumphant finale, have we got news for you? Wilf, I'm just going to introduce you, mate. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I believe, and you may have heard, the word carnage has been used to describe it a fair few times by almost every single Supercoach. But hey, look, it's chaos, it's carnage. It's painful if you're at the pointy end because this obviously, you know, big money on the line and all that. And also if you're in the reckoning for any overall cash comps and stuff like that, we've got some champs ones where, let's just say, a few of our champs are a little bit salty at the moment.
Oh, of course, mate. I mean, carnage is the most overused term in Supercoach, and it's because it needs to be reserved for weeks like this, right?
Yeah, like some of the weeks where we've thrown the word around carnage early in the season, yeah. This is a whole new different level. So, look, it's fun. I think this is where sometimes when you have a few pods in your team, you're a little bit more left field. It could be a week to benefit for yourself. So we were just chatting off air before and I was slightly bragging that I actually might have 17 this week.
I can't believe it.
If Joey Manu plays, and keeping in mind my 17th player will be Braden Williami coming off the bench for the Warriors. So,
I mean, Williami's not great. I'll see your Williami and raise you a Ben Trbojevic and Sonny Luke just to make 14.
14 seems to be like at least slightly above average from what I'm seeing. There are people struggling with anywhere from 9, 10, 11, 12 players, including the likes of the myth himself, Jack Howarth, as well as Williami and Sonny Luke's in the mix as well there. So it's not fun, but I think it's going to be a really interesting finish. Having said that, look, I've slipped, I think, another 1,000 ranks in the last 3 weeks. So I'm sitting at 4,040 now with my 12-13 last round. So I very reluctantly held my final trade. I was going to go with potentially going Nico Hines DCE. I was kicking myself when DCE scored 146, but then I figured, I reckon Nico's back next week. Sharks have to win to lock in a home final or finals altogether. And yeah, I just rolled the dice on that one. But yeah, you went a little bit better.
Put it this way. I had to look up what I scored because in my head I got a 1360 because I didn't switch my captaincy to Joey Manu at the last second. But unfortunately, I woke up and realized that I did. So 1248 for me, dropped me down to 432. And, you know, all my dreams of that top 100 finish were gone. I think if I got the 1360, I'd be knocking right on the door. But as it is, kind of dropped for the second week in a row. What else have we got? We've got Guy, 1249, pipped me by a point. He's ranked 585, but not quite as good as some of the other champs are going, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so our $500 champs only bonus leader is still Reese, the coach of Thrawn's Legion. He's snuck up to 69th overall, which is very, very nice. And, I mean, Paul Rod, the coach of Team Bozza, he's been thereabouts for a little bit, but unfortunately, a fellow Manu captain at last round, so he's slipped a little bit. We've got a new second place. That's Matthew, the coach of Thursday Night Lights. And I think he's about 100 and almost 200 points behind Reese. So this one is Reese's to lose at the moment. But as we said, you know, there's carnage, literally, and who knows how many players these guys have. Jumping over to the leagues, we've got Champions 1, still sitting in 14th overall. So not quite the top 10 finish we were hoping for, but one more week to go, anything can happen in there. And also the Podmasters Cup. So we were 7th, now slid to 8th. Anyway, let's jump over to the news for this week. So I think the big news is, if you haven't heard, the Broncos may actually win the minor premiership this year. I mean, that is mind-blowing to me as a Broncos fan. I was sitting here going, I hope we play finals in 2023. So, yeah, beyond my wildest imagination. But, yeah, literally, Broncos win against the Storm and they lock up the minor premiership. So flowing on from that, I thought, let's just work through the ladder, because this round is going to be painful enough, but I think there potentially could be more pain to come depending on how the certain results play out. So obviously the Panthers currently sitting in second, they are no chance to improve. If the Broncos win, like I said, they lock up the minor premiership. So Panthers will finish second guaranteed. So do you think that means that they could potentially rest some of their guys? I mean, Nathan Cleary's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, but to be fair, Cleary has had a lot of rest. So, I mean, Edwards, you know, has already been rested the last couple of weeks. Crichton, Cleary, I mean, there's very few players that haven't had a week off in the last kind of 3 weeks that has been named. So, I mean, that's the challenge, right, is that you've got to have the players on the bench to take their place. But it just seems... you know, even with some spots up for grabs, like your Broncos with the minor premiership, the coaches are just en masse resting, which I hope does bring about some change, if not to Supercoach, then to the NRL. Because, you know, I was excited for I was going to the Thursday night game, you know, because the Storm at Suncorp's always a cracking game. But, yeah, I don't see much in the way of benches. It's pretty skinny, a lot of these teams that could pivot if they were going to.
I don't think it's necessarily a resting thing, right? Because, and I think for the Panthers, it's more of a let's make sure Cleary doesn't get hurt type scenario, which is, that's what I'm wondering, because they obviously just lost Jerome Luai to a pretty significant shoulder injury. He got a rest in round 24. So he was rested. He was expected to play through, but obviously, yeah, they don't have him. So I wonder if the Panthers decide if they can't benefit, you know, on the ladder in terms of, I mean, minor premiership is, it's nice, but there's a bit of cash that comes with it too. And I wonder if that might play into the thinking. And if they don't, then, you know, Jamin Salmon in at 5'8", Jack Cogger steers a team round, could it definitely happen there. So I think for a lot of people last round, they kept Nico Hines as a potential captaincy. So they started Nico and then they reserved Cleary, or they reserve one of the other halfbacks, right, SJ. So I think that's where, if Cleary does sit, then I'd be very mindful that you get stuck with Cleary in your starting lineup. Having said that, most people don't have 17 anyway, so that doesn't really matter either way.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, mate. I mean, it's given most people's abject lack of trades, if you've got any, it's probably just one. Your ability to be flexible in this circumstance is pretty limited.
I wonder, though, if, for example, say, if they had SJ, if they wanted to bring in Cleary, that could be a little bit of a thing to think about if you wanted to make that trade. Now, if the Broncos do lose, then obviously Panthers, I expect them to field their full strength team as named, and they'll probably, you know, beat the Cowboys and win the minor premiership and, yeah, continue on their merry way. Now, the Warriors, obviously, they're locked in third or fourth regardless. There is a chance the Warriors slip to fourth if the Storm win and then the Warriors still lose. But I think the Warriors, they can't really do much more aside from the players they've rested already.
Yeah.
I think it's the bottom four spots that are more interesting, right? So Roosters, Rabbitohs, we know this is win and you're basically in, effectively. So they will probably move to seventh, even if the Bunnies, if they win, they could move all the way up to sixth if their win margin is large enough. And then if the Cowboys win, obviously beating the Panthers, they can move either into seventh or eighth. Now, if they lose, then definitely they're out. And then the top eight will be locked in at that point. So the winner of the Roosters and Rabbitohs locked into that eighth spot. But so Cowboys' result will be critical, I think, for a lot of that. Now, the Knights, they can't move. They pretty much either fifth or sixth either way. And it's just a matter of whether they play, you know, eighth or they play seventh. So no real big deal there. Obviously, Sharks and Raiders, final game of the season, that is going to be the key, right? Sharks can potentially finish fifth, lock in a home final, and then they'll take on eighth. So that'll either be the Roosters or Rabbits, whoever wins that game, or the Cowboys. Now, they could still finish sixth because if the Knights win and beat, they'll lock in fifth. Now, if the Sharks lose, they could see the Raiders would then finish fifth, potentially, with a home final if the Knights lose, or the Raiders finish sixth with the home final. But then they'll most likely play the Sharks the following week. So
yeah,
I guess the main thing is that there is a potential that either the Sharks or the Raiders could, if they lose, they drop out of the eight altogether. Now, that does depend on Cowboys winning, Rabbitohs winning, Raiders winning big. But yeah, it's pretty critical, that final game. And for me, that means like anyone in the Sharks and Raiders, there's no issues there. Like no matter what happens in the other games, they're going to be playing. They're going to be wanting to do their best, obviously, to win and lock in home final and, you know, a better matchup potentially. So I guess I just wanted to work through that because I think mid-round, there could be some trade decisions you might want to make or whatever. It's not really about start sits. It's just about making sure if you are taking some swings, I guess you could say, you're making sure that you're picking players from teams that are definitely, you know, they're not going to play silly buggies, basically.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It's just grit your teeth and get through the week, I think, for a lot of super coaches and just hope that the teams are as close to named as possible because, yeah, any further laid outs and, yeah, single figures for so many of us.
Now, look, we normally obviously spend some time going through injuries. The injury list is massive, and reality is they're all season enders. If they're not playing this week, that's the Supercoach season done. So we won't bother going through it. I know there's plenty of other podcasts you can listen to if you are more interested in the injuries because they might impact your team in the finals and all that type of stuff. But realistically, if they're named, you're expecting them to play. Supercoach-wise, obviously, Joey Manu is a big question mark here. Does it have a minor hamstring strain? He's rated a 50-50 chance to play. So again, factor that in terms of how you're structuring your team and things like that. But like for myself, if he's in, he's playing. If he's not, then I don't have a pivot option.
I don't know whether to be more angry that he was named after captaining him last week and him going off or not. Like rub some dirt on it, Joey, for God's sake. He tried to play on with a bloody compression fracture in his cheekbone 2 years ago. And he just got a tiny little hamstring tweak and gave me 16 points as captain. Bloody hell, mate.
You're not salty at all there.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Now, judiciary-wise, Tony Stagg's out a week. I think we've got confirmation now of Corey Horsburgh. Unfortunately, unsuccessful in contesting his charge, so he's out for four games, and obviously that means this week. Our favourite judiciary frequent liar, Jared Woodrey Hargreaves, two separate charges, copped 4 weeks for the charge he pled guilty to but tried to argue a downgrade. So he was trying to argue, yes, I did the wrong thing, but it's not as bad as what you thought, effectively. So he failed in that and copped 4 games for that, and he already pleaded guilty for the other charge and is going to cop 3 games for that one. So 7 games all up, but apparently he's been given permission to use some of the New Zealand representative games in the end of season to, yeah, take some of those suspensions out.
The NRL, ladies and gentlemen.
He's surely missing Vegas though, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, it's a bunch of other players who can play after copping some early guilty pleas, but let's just move on to the games for this week.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations, the rest of you made the team. Except you and you.
All right, so we'll be here all night if we go through, you know, the blow-by-blow. Suffice to say, the round kicks off with the Broncos Storm, usually one of the marquee games of the competition at Suncorp Stadium. Unfortunately, very, very little of the big names out, except for the bloke who's going to be running any number one for the Melbourne Storm, Ryan Pappenhausen. It's basically most people, a casual fan, would know from the Storm they're out. Harry Grant's gone. Munster's gone. Nick Meaney, of course, is out. My pod for this year. Over at the Broncos, it's Reece Walsh out. Adam Reynolds is still out. You name it. Payne Haas is out. It's
everyone's out.
Everyone's out. I mean, the Broncos have named two hookers on the bench. That's how thin it's looking this week. I mean, is there a potential captain in this, given that, you know, when there are so many young players, it tends to be a high-scoring game anyway, mate?
Got to be Ryan Pappenhausen, right, if you've got a trade. Like, I think most of us who have Kalen Ponga, it's the easiest trade you could possibly make, right? You can actually downgrade Ponga to Paps, and, yeah, he's my vice-captain this round. I know there's some risk, obviously. He's still coming back from that injury, but this is pretty much a reserve grade quality lineup that he's going to be playing with. He played reserve grade 80 minutes two weeks ago and had a great game, would have scored over 100 in Supercoach. So bring it on.
Yeah, that's probably a fair call, given that almost no one's got 17. Certainly no one seems to have 18. It's a free loop, so that Thursday game, perfect for Paps there. Next game is Manly versus the Tigers. Manly put a score up against my doggies. You know, the only bloke of interest at the West Tigers, John Bateman, is out. And, yeah, not a lot happening for Manly this week as well. We mentioned that Ben Trbojevic is getting a start. Olakau'atu is playing. DCE's playing, which is good news. They're obviously not playing for much this week, Manly. So, I mean, if you've got them, play them is the case for the whole week. But any shout-outs on this one, Wolf?
I think DCE's got to be a decent option, right? He was massive last week. He's goal-kicking with Nogarik here, and I think the Seagulls are, I mean, they enjoy putting a team to the sword, like we saw last week against your doggies. So I can certainly see a similar scoreline, and I wouldn't be surprised if DCE goes back-to-back 140-plus scores. So, yeah, if you've got, you know, SJ, I think DCE's a perfect option to pivot to if you've, again, if you've got that trade spare.
Hilariously, Josh Schuster can't even break in into the side, such is how much he's on the outs. Rabbitohs Roosters, now this will be a spicy matchup. The Rabbitohs just off the bye, so I don't think they are resting anyone. There's just genuine niggles, so your Cam Murray's, your Damien Cooks are playing. Cody Walker, obviously, a great captaincy option. And just given the rivalry, I just don't think this is the kind of game that they want to take off, even though I just said that about the Broncos and Storm, and look there. Manu is a chance. Hopefully he plays. But, yeah, not a lot else doing in these sides, is there?
Well, Teddy being named to return from his concussion is pretty big news. I think, like, for me, I actually have more confidence in the Roosters right now than the Rabbitohs, and I feel sick saying that, considering, yeah, mid-season I was thinking the Rabbitohs might be pushing for grand final rematch kind of territory. Like, you know, potentially it was going to be 2021 all over again. But right now the Rabbits, something's off basically. And yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence. I've got Campbell Graham, I've got Cody Walker. I'm not expecting much. I think the Roosters are going to do them pretty comfortably. I think Suli'i retaining the goal kicking is interesting. He obviously had a big game, a lot bigger than I think most expected, but a lot of it was because you're poor. Joey Manu curse struck him down, and Suoli'i got to, yeah, hit 140 playing fullback mostly. I think he was on like 40 or something when Manu went off, and yeah.
this is karmic retribution for all the crap I've given you for Paps going down in Magic Round a couple of years ago.
Look, I didn't want to bring that up, considering no, I didn't want to jinx anything with Pappenhausen coming in this week for my team. But
I thought I'd get ahead of you, mate, because it was coming at some point. Oh, no, crazy stuff. Dolphins-Warriors. Now, this is a game. Warriors, obviously, plenty out, as we mentioned. The Tohus, SJs, CNKs, DWZs of the world. So it's not too bad a side, but the Dolphins are pretty much full strength there. So, obviously, Jermaine Asako, who just is confounding everyone, just continuing to cross the line, playing the best footy of his life and kicking goals at a high rate as well. Connolly Lemuelu's there. I don't think anyone kept the hammer around Wilf, but he's an option as well.
Yeah, I think this is potentially one of the matchups where if you don't have a Sako, and let's just say bringing in someone like a Pappenhausen or a Drinkwater or Tino, the 780, 800K plus guys just aren't an option for you. I think Isako could be one of the highest scorers this week, given the matchup. Like the Warriors team, I know they've been brave, but I mean, I think they're resting at least half of their starters and all the important guys, all the guys with the double-barreled surnames.
Yep. Yeah, they're all out of there. The next game is Panthers-Cowboys. Now, obviously, you went through some of the scenarios for the Panthers there. I mean, surprisingly, with all the resting, it's not too bad a side. You got Dylan Edwards, Peachy, if you held on to him, well done. His name, Stephen Crichton. Nathan Cleary is still there. The forward pack is a little bit dire. And over at the Cowboys, they want to keep winning and they're pretty much full strength. So, you know, you can play and maybe even captain Scott Drinkwater with a lot more confidence than you otherwise would against the Panthers.
Yeah, I was going to say, Drinky's definitely an option in his current form, but to be honest, like, I think the Panthers, they're not going to concede a heap of points, right? It's still a pretty strong lineup, even if they rest Cleary or a couple of the other key guys. There's enough regular first graders there to not just collapse in a heap, and I don't think the Panthers are going to be the ones to get blown out significantly. But I still think, yeah, if you didn't want to trust Pappenhausen, I think Drinky's probably the next best option to bring in, given just how important this game would be for the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
They need to win and give themselves at least a fighting chance to potentially make the finals, as much as it's probably unlikely, but they're still in with the chance, basically.
For sure. And I would say, even though it is a pretty skinny week, I'd shy away from captaining Cleary if there's any other options, only because, again, depending on the scenario, he might only play half a game. He might play 60. There's a chance, obviously, he gets withdrawn entirely. But yeah, it's unlikely, I think, that you see Cleary playing the full 80 minutes that week. So Saturday night, Dragons Knights. Lachie Miller, remember him? He was so popular at the start of the year. He's back for Kalyn Ponga. Otherwise, it's a pretty stock standard side there for the Knights. Best, Marju.
No Gagai, though. That's pretty big, I think. A lot of people who took that bot option there, that's going to hurt. I wonder if them, and it feels weird to say, but Phoenix Crossland being missing actually could be quite significant for the Knights. They benefited from Crossland outperforming all expectations of him as a hooker, basically, after they lost Jaden Brayley so early in the season. Like, Crossland's just improved across the year at playing hooker, and I think he's one of the more important players right now, obviously outside of your Pongos and Hastings and stuff like that.
Draft superstar, Phoenix Crossland.
Absolutely. And for the Dragons, obviously, Jack DeBellin does return from his suspension. But otherwise, I mean, maybe if you've hung on to Ben Murdoch-Masilla from the start of the season till now, you get a little cameo off the bench from him.
Is this like Timmy holding Jack Gusevski
absolutely
for the whole year?
This is, yeah, that's how I see the Braden Williami thing, the Jack Howard thing. If you traded him in as enough, that's absolutely Timmy getting Jack Gusevski in a buy round.
Yeah. My God, yeah, definitely not much doing it at the Dragons. Titans, Bulldogs, it's all happening at the Bulldogs with the player unrest starting to, the leaks starting to come out. So we'll see what happens in the off season. They're pretty much on their Mad Monday, the Doggies. Titans, very similar. David Fifita has been named, as has Tino, thank God. Not a lot else doing from a super coach perspective. Again, if you're lucky or unlucky enough to have a Doggie, you're playing him regardless, but for Fifita and Tino, probably the only people that you're looking at in that matchup. Sharks, yeah. Raiders. Oh, sorry, you go.
I just feel like it's disrespectful to not acknowledge my round 19 NAF superstar Blake Wilson turning up in the most unexpected of times for me.
I know, and not only has he displaced Adokar and moved Adokar to his non-preferred right wing, he's actually scored okay periodically, but of course, you know, the weeks that you would pick him, he's done badly, and the weeks you wouldn't, he's done well.
Well, all I know is he scored me a ton in round 19, and he scored me a ton last week. So good on you, Blake. Well done.
Unbelievable. All righty. So Sharks Raiders, this will be, guys, you know, they're going to go hammer and tongs at each other. So if you held Nico, or if you picked Nico as two of your three halfbacks for the run home, good luck to you. Very viable captaincy option. Ronnie's there, Talakai, Ramian. All of the outside backs that were so popular coming into the third bye, the third origin. Blake Brayley obviously gets a start. He's sneakily well-owned, and I know you've got him as well.
Yeah, look, honestly, it was a bit of a spur of the moment trade in the end. Like, I just got sick of seeing Sonny Luke on my team list, and yeah, he gave me good points in round 19. He's been, you know, a valued member of my team the last 2 weeks, and then obviously this week with no Harry Grant, I'm happy I can roll out Blake Brayley rather than the Sonny Luke or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Connor Tracy's a bit of a sneaky one. He's done quite well at fullback. Like, he's not quite Will Kennedy in terms of the attacking explosiveness, but he's much more involved. He's got much more solid base, and he can still score a try or two. So I think if you're looking for some other potential pods, he's definitely a name there. I wonder if the Raiders, they've lost Josh Papali'i to a biceps injury. They've lost, obviously, Corey Horsburgh there, I imagine, with the Hall suspended. So he was named. They probably bring in, I guess, Trey Mooney, perhaps, to play lock. So that might be actually not a bad thing, because Mooney's, there's a lot of raps on him as a youngster. But I kind of think if the Sharks pack doesn't get monstered like they did last week, this could be pretty ugly, right? Like, the Raiders have been really, really poor. That left edge was just absolutely slaughtered last week. Right? And I just think this might be, if you were really desperate for a pod, like, maybe you're looking at like a Ramian or Sione Katoa, targeting that Raiders left edge.
Only if you've got bugger all money. I mean, if you're looking for a pod, it's got to be Ryan Pappenhausen, right? But it depends if, you know, there's no head-to-head, so it's only for overall points now. If you've got Ponga, you don't want that best part of $1 million, you know, rotting on your bench. I would look to bring Paps in. But again, you know, crazier things can happen if you know, there are some people I know that do mysteriously have two trades, and it could be a decent roll of the dice, because as we've said, the Sharks will be pushing. One of the few teams that we know will be going all out for the 80. But yeah, look, it's going to be a topsy-turvy week. Expect, you know, keep an eye on late outs and late mail as well, just given, you know, what coaches are going to do to respond to the changing top eight scenarios as the week evolves. But yeah, that's pretty much the team. Let's move on to the next segment.
So just a quick update on the Champions Group competition. So this is obviously crunch time. So thanks to our friends at Tyler Made, who've sponsored this. They stand for excellence in wall and floor tiles. So our leader is still Edwin, the coach of Lux for Losers, sitting in seventh overall now. It's going to be, obviously, you know, squeaky bum time. You're hanging on for dear life to that tracksuit, to that 1K. Look, either way, though, if you don't make it through to the top 11 come end of season, but you're still leading our group comp, at least $500 from us is no bad consolation prize. So good luck with that. We've got a new second place. So we've got Daniel, the coach of Sombrero Kings, in 17th overall. So hopefully you guys have some spare trades or at least decent lineups for this week so you can hang on there. Obviously, second to fourth, you get a platinum subscription to Rugby League Fantasy Pro. That platinum sub comes with access to all four of their fantasy apps, including Supercoach Pro, Fantasy Pro, DraftStars Pro, and Punter Pro. It's valued at $90 each. If you're fifth to tenth in our group competition, you'll get a $30 voucher to use in 2024. That basically covers the cost of Supercoach Pro, and or it can be applied to any of the other subscription packages. So definitely check out rugbyleaguefantasypro.com for more info about what is offered. I would imagine everyone up to the pointy end would want to know how many trades every other team's got, whether they've got boosts, and that's what Rugby League Fantasy Pro, the Supercoach Pro app, can actually help deliver that information. So thanks again to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity. All right, so there's no start-sit decisions. Trades, half of us, well, not even half of us, most of us don't have any. And if you do, it's pretty simple, right? If you got Ponga and you can move him to Pappenhausen, that's the simplest trade you could possibly ever wish for.
I think having Paps as your VC, hope he does really well, because it is actually a little bit hairier as captain. You're lucky that you've got Nico. I don't think Cleary's an option for all the reasons that I said before. It might be a Cody Walker style thing, which obviously is much, much higher risk than you know, most weeks, just given how the Bunnies are running and how hard the Roosters are going to go at them.
Might even be a Dave Fifita kind of week.
Could be, yeah. Or Tino, because, you know, he's not going to die wondering, and he's had plenty of time off. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. Look, I feel for everyone kind of in the top 20. Can you imagine if you were kind of top 5, top 10, your captain Manu last week, a few of the others, captain Ponga, for, you know, 110 points difference, 112 points difference. And then, you know, you find yourself with 12, and that could be the difference between not just a tracksuit, but thousands and thousands of dollars.
It definitely is. And it's interesting because I know last year a lot of people were like, oh, I need to save trades for the final round because it's going to be carnage. It's going to be lots of restings. And in the end, like, a lot of people didn't need those trades because it just never really transpired. It wasn't as bad as what we thought. And then fast forward to this year, and it's just, it's like Armageddon, right? It's just told you.
It took me by surprise because of all, like, there were three buys, and I know it was a longer season, but you got these mass outs when, you know, the Broncos had a buy in round 23.
25.
So, 25, yeah, God, 25. So 2 weeks ago, and they've got mass resting as well. It's just, I don't think anyone really foresaw this, much less the NRL, quite frankly. And I know they're kind of talking about coaches that, oh, okay, it's the coach's decision. Abdo came out today, but I'm not going to the game on Thursday night, and I was really excited to go, and I think a lot of people are going to vote with their wallets. There's not going to be much of a turnout, I don't think, this weekend.
Yeah, well, I'm still going because I promised I'd take my boys, and I guess at least I get to watch Pappenhausen run around, tearing up my Broncos, possibly.
Yeah, all right.
Mixed feelings, but look, I was mentally prepared for a loss this game regardless because I'm a scarred Broncos fan who just I barely remember any wins against the Melbourne Storm ever. So I guess, yeah, if they're going to lose, at least hopefully they can lose to my vice-captain in Ryan Pappenhausen. And look, I just want to see him play a good game of footy because he deserves it. That long rehab, he's just such a good guy. I just want to see him succeed because he's absolutely worked his butt off to get back to where he is physically. So, yeah, fingers crossed he has a big one there. We will have a second episode this week. We were going to have Bear come on tonight. Unfortunately, family life, just tough. So we'll give it another shot tomorrow, potentially. Might have another special guest anyway. But, yeah, we'll have to see what we can line up. It's a bit hard these days because everyone's just so busy.
Mass outs with the champs lineup as well.
Absolutely. Anyway, thanks as always for listening. And I can't believe it's the final week of Supercoach and the regular season for footy. But, yeah, good luck with your decisions. Hopefully, don't get too depressed if you do have, like, only 10, 11 or 12 players. Plenty of people in the same boat, but yeah, we'll catch you again soon.
Best of luck, everyone. Champion, champion.